Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hopefully these people we're about to speak about don't pale into insignificance by comparison. The first two I want to talk about are two that you've said that the data appeals for. The first one, and the headline act really, I guess, at the moment, is Ruben Amorim. What is it about him then, I suppose, in terms of the data and the numbers? There's the pros and there's cons. He ticks a lot of boxes, it feels like. He's got a relatively decent amount of experience. He's won a Primera Liga. And also, in the amongst this, I wanted to ask you, and it's something you touched upon earlier, how styles across leagues and how comparable is it, and how much you sort, I guess, is sort of bought into that? Because it must be difficult to look at the Premier League and try and compare that to the Premier League. That must be one of the hardest parts of all of this.
Yeah, I mean, starting with that one, I do think that's massively important. It's massively important at the player level as well. I'm sure, you know, it's been discussed about Bundesliga tax and all of that sort of translation. And Darwin Nunez being an example in the Premier League of kind of needing a bit of time to adapt to the physical demands of the league. And I think that holds true at the team level, and of course, the league level as well, because of style. Yeah, definitely with style, whether it's more possession-based, maybe more aerial-based, more physical, whatever it may be, but also kind of the strength and that difference between the top team and the bottom team. And yes, there's a big gap between Liverpool, Manchester City, Arsenal, and Sheffield United and Burnley. I get that in the Premier League, but I think from listening to podcasts and speaking to people like those at 21st Group is that I don't have the exact comparison, but I think maybe the lower echelons of the Primera Liga, maybe kind of more championship upper echelons of League One in terms of that quality. So naturally, a team like Sporting Lisbon or Benfica or Porto are going to still kind of always rise to the top because they are just notably and will continue to be notably better. So the same with the Eredivisie to a certain extent as well, where these are really good leagues, but that difference between the good teams and those who are fighting relegation is quite big. So you're made to kind of look a little bit better. So yeah, it's all of those things that are factored into it, taking it sort of with a pinch of salt. But in terms of Amorim, you know, what's his pros and cons? I know it's been covered in great depth in the deep dive with Chris and Josh Williams recently. So I won't go kind of too much and you know, duplicate what they've said, but I think that, you know, what one thing they did say, which was absolutely true, is that out of possession, and not just saying that the back line and the defensive side of things is their strength, but just overall from pressing from the front, their real sort of strength in keeping sort of central areas really nice and compact and forcing the opposition to go around them. I think that their defensive numbers are just outstanding. So the numbers on that is that they have conceded this season just 0.66 expected goals against per 90. And for context, Arsenal, who we've lauded as the best out-of-possession team in Europe, if not the world, are pretty much exactly the same there. So context of what I just said about the league quality, but still it shows that the Sporting are definitely doing something right in terms of the process there. Mm-hmm. So I think that, yeah, defensively, out of possession, they're so strong in that regard, as I say, pressing from the front and sort of keeping those central areas, keeping the opposition out of those central areas. I think another pro is that, again, it's been spoken about from Josh and Chris, that the way that he has dealt with the losses of players. We spoke about Alonso just then in terms of maybe not evidenced it or had the chance to evidence it yet, but the way that in the short space of time that Amorim has been manager, he's lost Manuel Ugarte, Pedro Porro, João Palhinha, Matheus Nunes, Nuno Mendes, all of those young players in recent years and sort of regenerated, and they are top of the Premier League. So I think that's one. Another one that I understand from my colleague David Ornstein, he said that his use of the sports science side of things has sort of been a key sort of tick in the box in terms of how he deals with injuries, keeping players fit. I think that one of his fitness staff, his current fitness staff, used to work at Liverpool. So I think it was a strength and conditioning coach. So that's all kind of, led to positive sort of signs, should we say, because Liverpool, I mean, every club has got its injury issues, but Liverpool in maybe recent years have had some injury issues and sort of wondering why that might be beyond just kind of bad luck. So that counts sort of really strongly as well. And I think that, as Jurgen Klopp has shown across his whole tenure, but specifically this season in terms of promoting youth, we don't have to discuss any more about what, Jurgen Klopp doing that. But Amorim has done that really, really well in the likes of Pedro Porro, Matheus Nunes, as I mentioned before, but Nuno Mendes as well, who's since moved on, of course. But Ousmane Diamande this season, he came basically straight into the team at 18. He's 20 now, but was just trusted in a sort of a role in central defence that is not to be underestimated, straight in, and has just looked so, so comfortable, but given that trust to be able to sort of play that role. So I think that's those three, I'd say, have been key. Really strong defensively. Four, actually, really strong defensively, being able to regenerate the team, dealing with injury or making sure that the strength and conditioning is really strong, and promoting youth. A lot of boxes ticked, I guess, there.
No, it certainly is, yeah. And it's nice to hear, to be honest. In terms of cons then, are there any standout cons for Ruben Amorim? I mean, sort of, from my point of view, I guess in layman's terms, one of them would be, I guess, not progressing deep into Europe. But again, do you expect Sporting to progress deep into Europe? Potentially, obviously, been knocked out of the Europa League at this stage as well. So maybe there's something in that, but I don't know whether you've spotted anything necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, they overcame Arsenal, didn't they, in the Europa League last season? So I suppose they've shown it a little bit in that regard. Again, the league quality means that it's not necessarily a con, but it's a difficulty to show the sort of the success and translate it. I think maybe they can be not as front-footed or as maybe dominant against the stronger sides within the league when you kind of really want to show that you are outwardly, the best team in that league. So that maybe feeds into the strength on the European stage. And it speaks to what I spoke about before in terms of if you can, as a manager, evidence that you are able to, overcome teams who are really high quality, who we know are at elite level, and that opportunity is through European competition. If you are able to show that, then it really gives you, bumps you right up to the top of the list. So I'd agree with that. I think that there has been, maybe a little bit of weakness there. I know that they were overcome by Atalanta, of course, now Liverpool are playing in the Europa League this season, but overcome Arsenal last season. So it's a bit of a mixed bag, I think it is fair to say. But I guess overall, I can see why he's definitely in the short list, if not, the top two or three.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and I guess a lot of that sort of European conversation stems from what Jose Mourinho was able to do years ago, being in Portugal as well. But to emulate that feels now impossible. And everyone I've spoken to about Ruben Amorim, I've often brought up the Mourinho comparison, but it appears to be quite a lazy one because they're simply both Portuguese and they both manage football teams. So yeah, that feels like pretty much where it starts and ends. Move on to the next one then, the next guy who the data appeals for. And this one is no great surprise to me, to be honest with you. It's Julian Nagelsmann.